Hello, and welcome to the Oasis Church podcast. This episode is part of our series, Shepherd King, exploring the life of David. Together, we'll be following the story of someone known as a man after God's own heart, through his highs and his lows, from field to wilderness to palace. As we do, we'll discover how, in both his successes and his failures, David points us to Jesus, the true King come to change everything for everyone. Thanks for joining us.
1 Samuel 21 verses 1 to 10. David went to the town of Nob to see Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he saw him. "Why are you alone?" he asked. "Why is no one with you?" "The king has sent me on a private matter," David said. "He told me not to tell anyone why I'm here. I have told my men where to meet me later. Now, what do you have to eat? Give me the 5 loaves of bread or anything else you have." "We don't have any regular bread," the priest replied. "But there is the holy bread, which you can have if your young men have not slept with any women recently." "Don't worry," David replied. "I never allow my men to be with women when we are on a campaign. And since they stay clean even on ordinary trips, how much more on this one?" Since there was no other food available, the priest gave him the holy bread, the bread of the presence that was placed before the Lord in the tabernacle. It had just been replaced that day with fresh bread. Now Doeg, the Edomite, Saul's chief herdsman, was there that day, having been detained before the Lord. David asked Ahimelech, "Do you have a spear or sword?" The king's business was so urgent that I didn't even have time to grab a weapon. "I only have the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah," the priest replied. "It's wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. Take that if you want it, for there is nothing else here." "There is nothing like it," David replied. "Give it to me." So David escaped from Saul and went to King Achish of Gath.
Okay, good morning, everyone. My name is Adrian. I'm going to kind of take us through to the end of our morning's gathering, where if you're a regular here, we're going to be returning to this amazing story of King David, the Shepherd King. And what we're going to discover is once again how David points us to the true Shepherd King, who is Jesus, who's longing to meet with you and longing to meet with me. And that's what we're hoping to get by the end of me speaking. That's what I'm hoping anyway. Massive welcome if you're joining us online. Great to have you here. Great to have everyone in the room. Downstairs, upstairs, all around. Really good. Also, just say a huge thank you to Katie for reading the Bible over us so excellently, eloquently. Katie's unable to be in the room with us at this point in time, but I know is joining us online. So I just wonder if we could just show our appreciation to her. In a moment, I'm going to jump into this story and look at 1 Samuel 21 and look at what happens around some bread. But before we get there, I just want to take us back actually to the summer of 2005. Maybe in this room, you're thinking, I wasn't even alive in 2005. How old are you? Yeah, that old. Some of you thinking, I remember summer 2005. It was amazing. Like for us as a family, at that point, we call it BB, before Becca, which is our youngest one. And there was 4 of us, and we had the privilege of going on holiday to London. And some friends who had like a very nice house in London offered that we could go and house sit for them whilst they did a European tour. And that sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? But we got to stay in their house, and their house was nice. And we tended to have this rhythm where we'd go off on adventures in London during the day, and then towards the end of the day, just after tea, we'd then go for a walk around the local park. And one day we go for this walk around the local park, and as we're getting to near the end, it starts to absolutely pelt it down with rain, pouring down with rain. And so we shelter under a rail bridge. And as we're sheltering there, we begin to realize, oh, we'd better make a run for it back to the house. And as we do, Lucy and I begin to kind of check our pockets and realize that the keys to the house are not there. We then start to pull open the pushchair we had and throwing stuff out and realize the keys to the house are not there. Somewhere in this vast park, were the keys to our friend's house. And we stood there thinking, it's cold, it's wet, and we need to get in. Now, I realized that I can blag. So I just said, hey, why don't I go back and check? We recognized that we'd left the back door open to the house. Now, the house had a back door that opened onto a courtyard. And the courtyard had like 8-foot walls either side. And then the back wall was 20 foot going up to the underground kind of train. Or it was overground at that point. They didn't live underground. So I go back and I just think, and this is a whole other story, which I'll tell another day. We'll just do this bit quickly. But I go back, knock on the next door neighbor's house, and somehow persuade them, though they don't know me, that I'm staying in the house next door. And could they allow me to go through their house, climb over their back wall, and break into this house? And they allowed me. And so that's what I did. And I got in the house and thought, okay, now I better go and find some umbrellas and go and rescue Lucy. And so I go through and search and find some umbrellas and open the front door, taking the spare set of keys, shut the front door and go to head to find Lucy. And as I go out of the front door, down the steps, I see Lucy and our two kids coming down the road wearing plastic bags. Like the kids have got like their head pushed through a plastic bag and like wearing it like dresses. Like Lucy's got one on her head and it's kind of like one wrapped around her back like a cape. And as they come nearer, I realize that there's a scent that is on these bags. And they get really close and all I can smell is alcohol. And I'm like, whoa, like what is going on? What happened whilst I've been breaking in? And Lucy tells me this story. She tells me of how she'd been stood under the bridge and this guy had come pushing his trolley with his whole life in there. And then seeing Lucy, he saw her and the kids and said, what I've got, I want to give you. And then emptied his belongings into his trolley and took the bags and gave each bag individually to Lucy in order that her and the kids could wear the bags and arrive home dry and slightly smelly. You see, why I tell you that story is probably one of the most profound moments I've encountered of the beauty and simplicity of mercy. Do you know those moments where something happens to you where you just think, I didn't deserve that. And yet this individual, with what they've got and what they have, they've sought to show mercy to me. Or maybe we watch a program and something happens and we think, wow, what's going on there is just phenomenal because there's something unbelievably attractive when we see mercy in play. And I want us to see in this moment, in this story that we've heard read around King David, is actually a story about mercy. A story about mercy being received, a story about mercy being shown, but ultimately pointing to a God of mercy. See, it's already come through in our singing that, I don't know if you heard, lots of those different stories that continuously told us a story about who God is. That God isn't one who's out to punish us. He's not one who's out to get us. He's one who is rich in mercy, in love and in kindness. And maybe today you've come and you thought, well, I just came to see some kids kind of have this weird thing done to them and I've got some questions around this. Maybe we're on a journey at the moment, been coming week in, week out, just thinking, yep, I'm trying to figure out who God is. And my hope is today that what we're gonna discover is that God is a God of mercy. Maybe we know this God of mercy. And for us, my plea, and my hope is that we experience the wonder of God's mercy towards us again today. So let's look, therefore, at a meal of mercy. A meal of mercy that we encounter in David's story. And I want us to do this through three different perspectives. We're gonna firstly look at it in a way of saying, actually, there's like what David did. And then we're gonna look at it of what Jesus says, and then we're going to look at it through a different final perspective, which is who Jesus is. So let's start off with what David did. See, in 1 Samuel 21, verse 3, we find that David finds his way to the tabernacle, his kind of temple, and says, "Now, what is there to eat? Give me 5 loaves of bread or anything else you have." See, David finds his way to this temple because he's in need. See, if we were to look back over the story, we'd realize that David is one who's been anointed to be king, and yet he's king in waiting. He then goes from success to success to success of like campaigns of like leading soldiers, defeating giants. Anything he's put in control of, he just brings success there. But the king who's in power at that point, King Saul, is deeply disturbed by David. And first of all, has moments where he just like strikes out and throws spears at him. But by this point of the story, he's not made any kind of pretense around this. Saul is out to kill David. He wants him off the earth. And so David has gone and fled into kind of hiding. In actual fact, he's just spent 3 days in hiding. And he's just emerging from this point because he's kind of escaped on the run without a weapon and without having eaten for a few days. And so he's hungry and needs provision of a weapon. And so makes his way to this temple and goes there because he remembers, you know, God is a God of mercy. Maybe he can find mercy here. And so goes and shares his need with the priest there. Now, in it, you could see it and think, well, he doesn't kind of offer a straight story, does he, to the priest? He like says, yeah, I'm on a special mission. No, he's not. He's on the run. You see, David comes in need of mercy within his own vulnerability and frailty. There's part of him that didn't know if this priest would be for him. And so there's a bit of fear there of how's this going to work out? Need of mercy and yet comes in own vulnerability. It's also probably part of him seeking to protect this priest. That if this priest helps him, he doesn't want anything to come back on him that says, oh yeah, you helped David, therefore. Fill the blank in, which unfortunately we'll fill in next week. But whatever happens, David knew that he was powerless and he was in need. He needed food and he needed a weapon. And amazingly, what happens is he spells that out and he says, hey, what about like 5 loaves of bread? And kind of talks about some other friends who are going to be joining him. The priest then says, okay, I can see you're in need of mercy. Therefore, I will offer it. I will show it. And the most remarkable thing happens that the priest then says, hey, there's this bread, the bread of the presence, which would have been around 12 loaves. We'll look at it in a bit more detail as we go along. And whereas David had asked for 5, he gets way beyond that. Like mercy does that. We end up with way more than you're expecting. And then gets told, oh yeah, oh, you need some sort of weapon? Oh yeah, there's the sword of the giant you defeated, your enemy's weapon. Oh, you can have that. See, first of all, in this first perspective of this story of a meal of mercy, we discover it's a story where mercy is needed, where mercy is shown, and where mercy is received. That's the first perspective. Second perspective. What Jesus said. See, there's this other moment later on that we'd find in the Bible when Jesus is walking the planet with his friends and they're walking around on the Sabbath day, the day that is defined by God as a gift to all humanity, a day that is to be a day of rest. And in that day of rest, the disciples who are with Jesus like take some grain and rub it in their hands in order they can eat because they're hungry. And those who are looking at Jesus like want to find out like, what does he think about this? Because the religious leaders of that day were all about observance of what God had defined and offered. But what they'd done is they put in loads and loads and loads of rules around it because they said, hey, this is to be guarded. Therefore, yep, it's going to be a day of rest. But to ensure you rest, we're going to keep adding rule after 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 rule. There's loads of them. In order that you know that you're resting. And they come to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, your friends are working on this day, aren't they? They just rubbed corn. And Jesus replies and says this because he wants to get them to understand this day isn't about rules. It's about mercy. And so we're going to find out the day that Jesus points to a story that we're just looking at. So Matthew chapter 12, verses 3 to 4 and 7 to 8, Jesus said to them, haven't you read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God and he and his companions broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. But you would not have condemned my innocent disciples if you knew the meaning of the scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. Second perspective, what Jesus said. Jesus knew the story of David eating the loaves. By the way, when David ate the loaves, it was on the Sabbath. You see, the priest says, oh yeah, the loaves are going to get changed today. And that happened on the Sabbath. Jesus points to that moment and says, oh yeah, remember this? You know, about the king that you all love. Hey, I think we might have missed what was going on there. Yep, there's a sacredness that's happening, but you've got to understand that what this day, this Sabbath day is about is mercy. It's not about rules. It's not about compliance. It's about mercy. It's about a day that God has designed where humanity would know that the world doesn't spin because of them. They can rest and revel and receive the wonder and beauty of who God is. See, Jesus looks on this meal and says, yep, this is a meal of mercy. Yep, mercy revealed through Sabbath, but actually then goes one step further and says, oh, and just so you know, I'm Lord, the King of the Sabbath. What's he saying there? Well, there's many things he's saying there, but we haven't got lots of time, so just single in. If this day is about mercy, what does it say then about the one who is king, ruler of that day? Jesus is saying, yep, I'm one who is God, who reveals God. And what I am and what I reveal is mercy. God is one who is rich in mercy. One who is full of unfailing love and kindness. And so in Jesus' perspective, in what he said, we realize that God is a God of mercy who is longing for us to experience and to know and then show his mercy. That's the second perspective. So we've got David, need of mercy, shown mercy, receives mercy. Second perspective, Jesus says, oh, this points to mercy and that God is a God of mercy who's longing to meet you and I with mercy. Third perspective, who Jesus is. The bread of the presence. The bread of the presence was something that was present in this moment in the story of David that was there as given as a gift by God to his people as a way in which they were to remember the beauty and wonder of who God is. And it was put on the table, 12 loaves representing 12 tribes. And it was put on a table that was in the tabernacle. And it was there as it was meant to be a place where it was seen that God dwelt. It was like a heaven meets earth moment. And so the presence the bread was in was God's. But more than that, it was there to remind the people of what God had done. It was to remind the people that God had provided for his people when they wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness, providing them bread daily. It was also to remind them, Leviticus 24 says this, that they were to understand that this bread reminded them of God's eternal covenant to them. Wow. I don't know what you thought the bread of presence was, but that's what it was. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? 12 loaves, 12 tribes in the presence, revealing God's heaven on earth, breaking in, revealing God's provision and God's eternal covenant. With that in mind, we then get another perspective to look in. John 6, 33, 35. What we find is this bread, this story, as always, is pointing to a greater story that is always fulfilled in Jesus, where Jesus says this, "The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "give us that bread every day." Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus says, "I am the bread of the presence." I am the bread of mercy. I am the daily provision for you. I am the one who comes and reveals the eternal covenant of God towards you and I. Suddenly, this story that feels like leagues away from us, of a king on the run, raiding a temple, getting a gift, some loaves and a sword, and we suddenly realize, oh no, this has every relevance to your life and to my life. Because what it does is it reminds us that God is a God of mercy, revealed through Jesus, who is longing to cause you and I to know his rich, unfailing mercy. Are you in need of mercy today? I am. Daily, I'm in need of mercy. I'm in need of mercy because of my frailty, my brokenness, the things that I do that I know fall short of who God is, the need of mercy for forgiveness, the need of mercy because I'm not enough and I need God to come and provide all that I need, the mercy I need because at the moment we're grieving as a family and we need God's comfort. What is it for you? Like, do you need mercy? Because Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I come to bring you mercy." What's the way of his mercy then? Well, we see it again in this story. Just because of time, I couldn't get the sword. I have lots of props, but I haven't got a prop of a sword. I used to actually, but I gave it away. That was a foolish thing to do. You see, not only was the bread provided, also the sword of Goliath. David's enemy's weapon was given him in order that he could defeat his enemy. That's the thing. But bigger than that is what it points to. Because there was a moment where the mercy of God was going to be revealed through the plans and the weapon of the enemy. In order that at the cross, which seemed to be the weapon of choice to destroy, actually became reversed to be the weapon of Jesus to reveal his victory and his mercy to all who come. So much so that Paul writes this to the Colossians, a church in Colossae, in Colossians 2, verses 13 to 15. "Then God made you alive with Christ." You, in that moment. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're in the you. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, the invitation is that you can be. for he forgave us for our sins. He cancelled the records of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Wow. Who cares about Goliath's sword? Jesus took the cross and reversed it in order that it would be the weapon of his choice to break anything that seeks to distance us from who God is. So we can know through his mercy, forgiveness, freedom from condemnation, freedom from fear. And the mercy that we can know is one that then rewrites our story in order that you and I could know that we are forever, eternally, unconditionally loved. And the cross continues to be a sign that the enemy has been defeated and disarmed because Jesus is victorious. You see, the third part then, that it reveals who Jesus is, that this story promises that we get to know mercy through Jesus. Something David seen, something Jesus speaks of, and how Jesus said, oh, yep, I'm the fulfillment, in order that you and I, in a room in Harborne that feels strangely warm for once, or for you at home in the lounge or bedroom or study or coffee shop that you're watching this in, could know that Jesus longs for you and I to know his mercy. See, there is mercy for you and me. Mercy for us to receive today. You see, I reckon there may be some of us here who've said, yep, I've never centered my life on Jesus. Is it really that easy? That what I've been longing for, what I've wanted, is this life where I know I'm forgiven. That the things that I've done that I'd hoped that no one would know about, actually I can bring out into the open because Jesus, you have mercy to me, for me. Yep, it's that easy. You just come and say, Jesus, I need you, I want your mercy. But maybe we've come today and we say, yep, I'm a follower of Jesus. I've centered my life on him. What is it we need mercy for today? I've already said how I need mercy. What do you need it for? Because Jesus longs to come and meet with you and I by the Holy Spirit, causing us to know the Father's love, that we would know today there is mercy and an abundance. And here's the deal, as we're those that are receiving mercy, the only outworking can be that we reveal it. I often cast my mind back to the guy with the trolley who I never got to meet. And I believe he was Jesus to us. In that moment, revealed the mercy of Jesus. And I want to follow his example in being like Jesus to everyone I come into contact with. In saying, like, what I have, I offer. Freely I've received, freely I've give. Because I know a God of mercy. And by my puny offering, I want you to taste too this God of mercy. Should we stand if we're able? And I just want to pray for us. I'm going to ask Rod just to come up and just strum some music. Just to warn you, if you're a guest here, you may think, when does this thing end? It's basically going to end in a moment. But how we're going to end it is, confusingly, it will feel like, has it ended? Because what we're going to do is what we call like a soft close, which is a very weird expression, isn't it? Which basically means, if you want to leave, you can. If you've got kids, we'd encourage you to go and collect your children. But if you feel like, no, I think this call to know mercy, I just need some others to stand with me and to pray for me to know more of that mercy. What I'm going to do as we get towards that point is just invite you to come to the front, and there'll be others who'll come and be with me, and we'll get to pray for you to receive and know mercy. But where we are at this moment, upstairs, downstairs, in your houses, I just want to pray for us to know afresh the wonder of this mercy. Just where you are, just why don't you close your eyes, maybe put your hands out as a way of saying, Jesus, I just offer everything I am of myself. Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe it's for the 100th time. and just say this prayer after me. Jesus, I come in need of mercy. I need you and I receive all you are. I pray, would I know forgiveness? And I pray, would I know the wonder of the life you offer that satisfies? And then where we've prayed that, I want us to pray another prayer. Holy Spirit, I pray, would you empower me to be one who shows mercy to all? To be one who shows the wealth of your mercy, the mercy that I have known and continue to know. Amen.